Hey everybody, it's time for another edition of BitNote, where we'll play video game music and talk about the games they're from. This week it's a little car themed. Hope you enjoy. Hey everybody. So, essentially this week I finished playing a very fun game that was actually only released last year. Yes, I know. I know a lot. That's actually fairly modern for me. In all fairness, though, I just never really believed in just buying something hot off the release, so I always tended to wait a while, you know. Like a wine, almost they ferment, but more practically, you end up getting a game at a far cheaper price if you just wait a few months. But the game I played was Driver San Francisco, and it is a very, very fun game. It's actually the most latest installment of a popular running franchise, as they call it. To be honest, whenever I hear franchise, I still think of fast food outlets like McDonald's and stuff. But no, whenever a video game name has been running a long time, they always called it a franchise. And they always talk about this IP, and they always talk about, you know, it's brand loyalty and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, look, just cut off all the cynicism and bullcrap. Let's play some music from the actual game itself. Sound good? And that, my friends, was the main theme tune of Driver San Francisco. It was originally composed. It's actually a remake of the very first Driver game. The first Driver game, that was back in the 90s for the old PlayStation. But the theme tune then was actually composed by Alistair Brimble, who actually we've talked about in the show before with music, providing music for games like Dizzy and Roller Coaster Tycoon. But for this game, it was Mark Canham who actually created that new version of the theme tune for this game, and it's certainly a lot of fun. So, Driver San Francisco, it was made by Ubisoft Reflections. That was originally a game studio called Reflections Interactive before they were acquired by Ubisoft. But before that, they were also acquired by Activision. So it's a case of an independent game studio ended up being shunted back and forth like a hockey puck between huge video game publishers, apparently. But they made the original Driver. They're a classic British game studio that made many great games. And they made the original Driver, which was a classic when it was first released. Well, I suppose it's a classic now. When it was released back then, it was contemporary. But let's not get caught up in definitions like that. And the whole game just revolved around exciting car chases where you drive around and get cops chasing you and pull off and reference various music videos and everything. And it was all about that sort of stuff, about driving around and everything. And it's had a lot of games since then. The original Driver game, you just drove around, but recent Driver games, you could actually get out of your car, walk around. But of course, that put it into competition with a lot of other games that did that much better, like Saints Row or Grand Theft Auto. So actually, for this game, Driver San Francisco, they brought it back to the roots where you can leave your car, but not on foot. It's focuses purely on the driving action. You see, what happens is you're actually able to shift. When you're driving a car in your own character, you're able to shift where suddenly you can like astral project out of the car and then suddenly dive into the body of another person driving a completely different car and drive that car instead. I mean, basically you're able to hover around like a ghostly thing and just take control of various drivers in the city and drive their car. And you can, of course, zoom out. So, I mean, at first you're just able to grab control of cars in your area and then or hover along. But soon you're able to like zoom out so you can see the whole city of San Francisco sprawled out below you and then just zoom back in again and grab control of a car and go spinning off from that. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it works so well. I mean, it's like into the concept of Grand Theft Auto where you drive around, see a car you liked, stopped, get out, try to stop the other car, then, you know, hijack that car, and Driver just cuts that out completely, and you see a car, two clicks, suddenly you're driving that car, and it's one of the real fun things about it. They focus on the core enjoyment gameplay of the driving, but they also came up with new ideas that helps it along. And I mean, I think that's what, you know, the term innovation is bandied about so often in so many different areas, but I mean, that's just an example of just a really good idea, really well implemented, that really helps the flow of the game. And you can do a lot of fun stuff with this. Oh boy. I mean, you can, there are a lot of missions where, like, you know, you need the right sort of car. So instead of, like, trying to find a car, you just hover, you know, you'd zone out, find the right car and select it. And of course, there's the main thing. And a lot of times you're an undercover cop and there's always a lot of like car chases and stuff, and there are things where all these bad guys, there's an armored van and cars try to drive from all over to attack it. And so what you do generally is you grab control of, you see where the car is, the enemy car, you look on the opposing lane in the other direction, grab control of that car, and just cause a head-on collision. Don't worry, no one is harmed in this game. Pedestrians always jump out to the side, and everyone inside the car is always safely restrained by their seatbelt. Even the bad guys. I mean, so you could take a great big juggernaut, drive it right on and have a head-on collision with a sports car, and then has a slow motion stops, and we go to the side, and we can see, yes, the bad guys in that car are still happily in because they wore their safety belts, my friend. And that's the lesson of this game. Wear your safety belts. And in the town of San Francisco, in Driver Universe, everyone wears their safety belts and everyone survives. So that's happy thought for today. So I suppose Driver San Francisco has put me in a bit of a mood about driving car games, because the rest of the tracks for this show are all from driving games. Now, I was never much of a driving game person. The way I saw it, I mean, it was only really, really fun if there were like lots and lots of car crashes, which incidentally is where Driver San Francisco delivers. It also has a lot of like classic movie references as well and stuff. Like you can access the DeLorean because they've got licensed cars and you can try to drive it over 88 miles per hour. And I won't tell you what happens, but I don't know. You don't end up in a past version of the entire city, unfortunately. That would require a huge amount of resources. But I just like fun games, and with a lot of car games, you're kind of like driving around the same track over and over again, and if you're playing on your own, it's even less fun. But there are a lot of good car games that I still enjoy, so I thought I'd give you the tracks from a few of them. So why don't I start off with the music from one of my earliest car games. Now, I think I've played Lotus Turbo Challenge 2 music. This is another game that was actually made by the same composer and the same game studio. It's from a classic, and like I said, I like my car games to be just interesting, you know, a little more than just driving around. So this is a game with rocket launchers. Enjoy. And that, my friends, was a theme of Supercars 2, developed by Magnetic Fields way back in the early 90s, and the theme was by Barry Leitek. So, Supercars 2 is a fun game. Basically, it's top-down. That's the way that games are... pretty much no one plays top-down car games these days, but, I'm sure there's some indie and stuff. But back then, top-down was a pretty popular perspective. You just get an aerial view. You'd see the tops of the cars. That's how the original Grand Theft Auto game was played. And you basically drove these cars around this very tight, very compact races and tried to get to the finishing line, hopefully beating all your opponents. Of course, it was very tricky to beat opponents. There's stuff like overtaking and stuff. So your cars were given rockets and battering rams and homing rockets and rockets that would spin around you. It was all a lot of fun. You were actually able to upgrade your car, which was kind of kind of still fairly novel back then. You could decide exactly what your front missile were or back missile were. For instance, when you hit back, did you want to like shoot rear missiles or maybe drop a mine and stuff? So, I mean, you actually had to do well in the race to get money to manage to buy all good weapons and keep going on. Like I said, that's hugely popular. Pretty much any advanced game these days of that sort does stuff like upgrades, but like pretty new back then. And I just loved the love the tracks. They were always very compact. You could go around. You could just blast rockets. Sometimes there were obstacles such as gates that would open and close, or train tracks you had to cross, or jumps you have to make. I mean, there were a couple of clever parts where you'd drive along a road to make a turn and then have to jump across the piece of road that you just drove across. So obviously you had to make sure you drove pretty well there. Otherwise you'd end up having to just land right back on the road. And no, actually what happened was when you land, you just blew up. But sometimes I think I managed it so I was still actually driving around and just had to loop back up. But it was a fun game. It's one of those games that, you know, every single element just really works well with each other. The way that you bounce, the way that if you hit the car, you kind of, they bounce and you kind of bounce, the way that the missiles work, the way that everything's compact, the way the game's so focused on just crossing the finishing line, although weapons are certainly a factor. And it's just... It's just really fun to make it through all the tracks and hopefully get across the lead with the most amount of points and while also generating money to win as well. It's just, like I said, I don't normally like racing games, but it's just everything is tuned well. The music, great music. The graphics, the sound, the whole way that you manage to drive and use the weapons and everything. It just really, really works very well. Like I said, it was developed by... One of its more memorable features actually doesn't really have anything to do with racing whatsoever, and that was the questionnaires, the challenges. I don't know what they were called. I mean, it's not like these days where if there was a new novel feature, the game developers would shove it down your throat what it was called, but I'll just call them interviews. But back then, after every so races, and you could turn this feature off, but it could work for you against, you would meet some figure who would ask you a question. You had three options to choose from, and you basically had to go through and make sure you answered the right questions in order to get through the whole game. And at the end, what could happen is, depending on which person was interviewing, either they could give you points, deduct points, give you money, or deduct money. And you had to be very smart about which one you went for. The one I always remember, like, was when you were going up against the police officer and basically saying, well, what's your story then, Sunshine? And one of the options is, and you can respond to that question by saying, don't call me Sunshine Moonbeam. And it's just, then of course there was the driving test, like they had the exclamation mark, and the question was, what does this sign mean? And your options were boo, danger, or guess what's going to happen next. I mean, to be honest, years later, I was like studying for my actual driving test. So much pressure. I had to get the, you know, the theory, the book, and the CD, which would ask me these questions. And I was saying, this sounds very damn familiar. This is right back with me playing Supercars 2, doing the interview with where the guy was a driving test and he was showing me road signs and everything. Only I had like four options to choose from in the driving test rather than three. But obviously, to be honest, some of them sounded the same. For instance, like one of them was like, one of the things in the driving test was like, if a guard stops you, what do you do? And one of the options was demand to see your lawyer. I mean, it's like on the real driving test, some of the answers were almost hilarious because they were almost like what you'd like to do, but what you really shouldn't have done. Like, so if someone's blinding you with their headlights, don't blind them. One of the options was that you blind them back with your own. But, but Supercars 2, that was just very funny. A lot of the question replies could be very sardonic and silly and fun. And that's what I always liked about games back then, that would just give you the option to come up with very silly replies for these sort of things. The interviews could have everything from someone who's passing on some great inheritance that you've gone, the police officer, an environmental agent, or of course the driver test instruction. It was all a lot of fun, and like I said, it would affect how you did in the game. So yeah, it was Turbo Supercars 2, a lot of fun with all the racing, so tight, very energetic, and also some nice little fun things that give the game a lot of personality. The next game is actually a little tricky to get the music from. Like I said, part of the reason I do this is because I want to bring a lot of great music that hasn't been heard before. So I always try to stick with the original music. But I suppose if I'm going to talk about car games that I actually liked, I got to bring up Burnout 3 Takedown. This is a fun game. I mean, like I said, I like cars more when it's when there's some stuff going on, and boy. This was developed by Quaternion Games, who are taken over by EA Games. They're another British game studio, actually, so it seems like all these car games that I actually like were only made in Britain. So, interesting there. I don't know. The last game I've got planned does buck this trend, but for now, we'll talk about Burnout 3. Basically, it is a racing game. You got three nice locations. You know, you got place in America, place in Hong Kong and stuff. It's just you're racing along. Everything's fine. Everything's sunny. A whole track of licensed music blasting out. And it's the takedowns, man. I mean, whatever game mode you're playing, there are a couple of different game modes. If you shunt a car into the side and he smashes into something, then you get a takedown. And like so much of the game is based around takedowns, it's in the frickin' title. So it's like, yeah, this is a game where it actually encourages you to utterly cause every other car to crash. I mean, screw it about great handling. Screw just trying to get through the game, you know, do tight things. Screw about companionship. This is just about rear-ending and smashing and bashing cars and till they crash into buses or pillars or like great bigs of rocks or maybe a great big arch in a European city. I mean, it's a lot of, yeah, pretty much that. I remember it had beautiful graphics, although I remember how accurately it rendered the effect of the sun glaring off of a tarmac and making you squint at the screen as you're going at over 100 miles an hour trying to avoid all the traffic in the area, various areas, while still trying to make it to the front of the race. It is a fun game, and it's just so many rewards, so many cars, and I just really enjoyed it. The whole game, there's some parts of the game that even focus specifically on creating crashes. It's part of a huge franchise, the Burnout franchise. Yes, yet again, I'm using that word. I think I'll just use series. I prefer series. It sounds more actual rather than just something that's used to grab money, which most of these franchises are. But the Burnout series is fun, and it's just so many things about just trying to set things up and just crashing and just fun. I mean, that's all basics of it. Music is very hard for this because I don't think there's actually any original music composed for this game. So I'll just throw on one of the licensed tracks. I mean, like I said, it kind of goes against this game. I've done this sort of thing before, in all fairness. I remember I showed, I played a game from the Indigo Prophecy / Fahrenheit, which was actually released beforehand. But whatever. Here's a good song. Like I said, there's a great selection of things from the radio. Here is Here I Am by The Explosion.
It's all what I hear. Corruption, greed, and feud are all I see.
And the last game, which I'll be talking about tonight, is Speed Devils, developed by Ubisoft Montreal. Now, this is a fun game. It's sort of standard. You've got races. You drive it. You drive your cars around. You can sometimes get challenges where you vendettas where you try to beat. Where if you beat the opponent, you get their game. But it's pretty much, you know, a bunch of race tracks. You win the races, you go forward, and you get more races to go into. So pretty standard. So what makes it fun? Well, it's mainly the environment, and it's mainly just how you just go spinning through just great environments like Louisiana with tornadoes, or Hollywood with dinosaurs and King Kong trying to attack you, or Nevada with UFOs crashing and driving through cargo ships, or even in Canada and spinning off a cliff to see the Titanic crash into an iceberg. It's just a lot of fun. It's really energetic. It's just standard racing, but it's just made a lot of fun. I mean, normally you want rocket launchers, but it's just kind of arcadey. It's kind of fun, and it just really, really enjoyed it. The music I'm about to play is called Lights Out, and it was composed by Dominic C. Grant and Sylvian C. Grant. And I'm just about running out of time. So thank you very much for listening to BitNote. Hope you enjoy the music, and I hope you've learned about some cool games and listened to some great music. This is David Collins with BitNote, signing off.